Hey everyone, Pastor Matt Prater here from New Hope Church. Welcome to everyone watching on our Facebook, on YouTube, on our podcast, listening in, or on our website. However you are tuning in, great to have you with us. Please stay with us. Just got a short message of encouragement to share with you today. And just want to ask, firstly, for those who can watch the video, do you like the beard? Should I keep it? I've got my quarantine beard. My wife says that maybe I should shave it off. Make a comment, let me know. Should I keep it or lose it? Love to know your thoughts on that. My wife actually says that it is good for her skin when we kiss because it exfoliates her skin. So anyway, I'm not sure what you think, but I'd love to know your thoughts on that. Going for the Moses look, you know. The Bible says their grey hairs are their wisdom in Proverbs. So thinking about keeping it. It's a bit itchy, but. So if you are watching and you're not a part of our church, it is great to have you joining in today. Today I'm going to share a few stories, some dad jokes and some Bible verses, hopefully bringing a message that will inspire and encourage you today. I've got my suit jacket on and my shirt that says forgiveness. I'm going to talk a bit about forgiveness at the end of this. Make sure you stay tuned at the end, because at the end I'm going to give you an opportunity where you can pray a prayer and get your life right with God, have your sins forgiven. I really want you to just give me your attention for a little bit of time while I share this message today, if you could please. And also at the end, we will be having a Zoom prayer meeting where we can pray for you if you need healing in your body, if you need a breakthrough, if you'd like to give your life to Christ. We'll have a Zoom link for you at the end of this that you can connect with us as well. So our church, New Hope, is at Kelvin Grove in Brisbane in Australia, and we're next to the Normanby Hotel. I've often said our vision is to empty the pub and fill the church, but right now the pub's empty and the church is empty. So we're recording from home, broadcasting from home whenever we get the opportunity. But every Friday we do go out to the homeless shelters around the city. It's about 12 or 13 different places we go to. We feed the poor. We give them clothes and blankets and hot meals. We give them Bibles and devotionals. And we always encourage people to give their life to Christ. And we've seen many people make a decision to come to Christ recently. So please keep praying for our charity, New Hope Care. And we're really thankful to everyone supporting us. If you're volunteering, donating, whether it be finances or clothing or food, lots of people have been sorting out, supporting what we're doing with New Hope Care. Let's keep praying that we can reach the world right now in this these dark times. Let's shine a light to those that are struggling. Now, I do encourage you to take notes while I'm sharing today. Write down all the Bible verses and the things that I'm sharing so that you can read them a bit later and study them. Take note for yourself. Now, we're in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic, and I do love Aussie's sense of humour in the middle of all this. There's lots of bad news, but I had a bit of a laugh the other day reading about the new coronavirus slang that's being used. Some classic ones doing the round is, instead of hand sanitizer, it's sanny. Instead of self-isolation, it's ISO. Instead of corona, it's Rona, Verona. Instead of hoarding or stealing things at the supermarkets or you know, hoarding, it's magpieing. Apparently that's the word. So, for example, if you put them all in a sentence, it'd be, my boss tested posi for the Rona, so now I'm in ISO. Pop down to Woolies for some sani, but it's been magpied. So, don't you love all the Aussie slang words that are being used during this time? I also know a lot of people are struggling without their sport right now. And I saw a funny quote the other day. There's a famous team in the AFL called the Collingwood Magpies that everyone loves to hate. And this bloke put on Facebook, he said, oh, I just had to go down to the park so I could boo the Magpies because I'm missing my sport so much. Found some magpies at the park, I was able to boo them. Anyway, let's make sure that we do have a laugh in the midst of what's going on. There's a lot of bad news, a lot of things to be sad about, but we've also got to remember that for our mental health, you know, the Bible says laughter is like medicine and health to the bones. So remember to have a laugh and be a bit positive at times as well. I did see a very sad news story the other day, and I want to start with this in my message today. I did see a story the other day about a nurse in New York who was allocated an iPad. And her job with that iPad was to go to a person that was about to die from COVID-19 and organize a video call for their family, so they could give their last words to their family. And this nurse was being interviewed saying it's the most horrible job. She's seen so many people die, and, you know, it would take a toll on you as a nurse. I'm just heartbreaking. And she would be there holding the iPad while the person was laboring to breathe and laboring to speak, and they would say their last words to their family before they passed on to eternity. And it really hit home to me. There are people dying in the midst of this crisis all over the world. And we might see a second wave, we might see a third wave. Who knows how long this crisis is going to go on for. But you know what? When we hear of people slipping away into eternity, it makes us think of our own mortality. It makes us think about our life on this earth. How long are we going to live here? 70, 80, 90 years? What does our life mean on this earth? And so today I'm going to suggest a few things for you to think about for your life. What difference are you making on this planet? How are you making this world a better place? Are you fulfilling your purpose and your calling for your life? And I want you to take notes today. And I've got the letters COVID, C-O-V-I-D. And at the top of your page, if you write down C, the first word in the message today is the word Christ. C for COVID, the first one is Christ. We've got to remember to keep our eyes on Jesus in the middle of all of this. The Bible verse I'm sharing here is Hebrews 12, 1-3. It says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. A few things from this verse really relate to our situations right now. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Right now, many people are weighed down with sin. Research shows many people are drinking alcohol excessively. People are getting their stimulus money and are wasting on drugs and gambling. We know by all the research, these things are bad for us. It's like a sugar-coated poison apple. On the outside, it tastes sweet, but it's poison on the inside. And they're just a few obvious sins. But there are many other sins that we're all trapped in. Many are trapped with the sin of pridefulness, where we think we're better than everyone. We even think we're better than God. Many people don't think they need God. That's called spiritual pride. The sin of greed we've seen with people hoarding toilet paper and all sorts of things at the shops. There's the sin of slothfulness. People become so lazy and apathetic in this time. There's the sin of selfishness, greed, covetousness, wanting what everyone else has got. There's sins of commission and sins of omission. Sins of commission is where we commit a sin. We lie, or we steal, or we break the law, we speed in our cars, we do these sins of commission. But there's also the sin of omission. That's where God has told us to do something and we don't go and do it. What are the sins of omission that you've committed? What has God called you to do that you haven't done in your life? You see, the Bible tells us we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of God's glory. We've all lived a life lower than the standard of perfection. And Christ is the only one that lived a perfect life. And he's the only one by which we can be saved. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says confess your sins one to another so that you may be healed. We all have sin as a blockage between us and God. But John 14:6 tells us this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will see the Father in heaven but through me, through Jesus. We can have our sins forgiven and we can be set free and we can live a life honoring God. What sins of commission have you committed? What sins of omission have you committed? This verse goes on and says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. You know, if you were running in a race and you were carrying a 20 kilo pack, it would slow you down. Sin slows us down from what we're called to do in this life. The Bible says to repent from our sin, turn from our wicked ways. Repent means to do 180 degrees paradigm shift of thinking Stop going down that sinful path. Lay it aside and run the race that God has called you to run. You know, it's the most fulfilling, contented life, the life that runs the race for God. What's the race that God's called you to run? Are you running the race that God's called you to live? Are you living the way he's called you to live? Verse 2 goes on and says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne next to God, the throne of God. You know, we need to look to Jesus in this time. He died, he rose again, and he is on the throne. One of my favorite quotes is, don't say look what the world's coming to, say look who's come to the world. And you know, Jesus is coming back one day. Soon, I believe. You know, people are getting so distracted watching the news all the time, watching every conspiracy video, going down rabbit trails with all sorts of theories. I've been taught in my job in radio, I work at Vision Christian Radio, that you shouldn't broadcast anything unless it's from a credible source. And with so many conspiracy theories out there, not all of them can be true. Maybe some of them are, but what can we do about it? We should look to Jesus in this time. When we stand before God to be judged one day, he isn't going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You worked out those conspiracy theories. You get a gold star. No, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord for the good works you've done. You see, we don't get saved by good works. We get saved through the blood of Jesus. But then we get saved to do good works. You can only be saved by faith in Jesus, but then you'll get rewards if you do what God has told you to do. If you run the race God has called you to run. Are you running the race God has called you to run? The last part of this verse says, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. I know lots of people right now that are weary and faint-hearted. The Bible says, never grow weary in doing good. You will reap a harvest of righteousness at the right time. Jesus spent 3 years in ministry, and he stayed strong no matter what persecution he received. Never give up running the race for Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Christ. That's the C in the start of this message. And reminds me of the cartoon where there was a gold miner who was digging for gold, and there was this thin layer of dirt, and on the other side of the dirt was the gold. And he was exhausted from digging, and he gave up. He put his pickaxe over his shoulder and he walked off in the opposite direction, not knowing that just on the other side was the gold. Never give up. You might be just one sleep away from your miracle, one sleep away from fulfilling your destiny, one decision, one choice, one step. You could be one more swing of the pickaxe away from reaching your goals and your dreams. Never give up. Don't be weary or faint-hearted. God has a plan and a purpose for you. He will guide you. He will anoint you and equip you, help you be who all you could. He will help you run the race. Run the race and keep your eyes on Jesus. So that's the C. Next in COVID is O. And I've got the word opportunity, if you write that down, opportunity. Ephesians 5:15 to 17 says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. We need to make the most of this time. I think of the story of the parable of the talents. One guy was given five, one guy was given three, one guy was given one talent. And the guys with the five and the three, they invested their talents and they brought back double return for what was given to them. But the guy with the one talent, he buried his talent. And when the master came back to the first two, he said, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. But the guy with the third, he said, you've misunderstood. Away from me, you wicked and lazy servant. I never want to hear those words. Away to a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's not Centrelink, by the way. That's hell it's talking about there. I don't ever want to be found unfaithful with what God has entrusted to me. We need to be faithful with what God has entrusted to us. In this time of lockdown and ISO and quarantine, whatever you call it, make the most of your time. Build yourself up in God's word. I feel like we're in a cocoon right now. And soon when we're released, we're going to be like a butterfly. I feel like it's a rubber band that's being stretched back, and we're going to be propelled into missions and caring for the poor, planting churches, doing amazing things for God. Make the most of this time. Don't just waste your time binging Netflix. Don't waste your time being lazy and apathetic. Build yourself up. Get prepared. Dress yourself in the armor of God. Get ready for the battle that is ahead. We're in the most exciting days of history before the return of the Lord Jesus. And we're like that last runner in the relay race. The fourth runner has the baton to go across the finish line. That could be our generation. Are you ready? Are you running the race? Are you making the most of every opportunity with what God's called you to do? You know, we need to rethink church. We need to rethink ministry. We need to rethink how we care for the poor. We need to rethink everything right now. Maybe you need to rethink what you're doing in your career. You know, we are thinking about how many people are going to need emergency food in the future as poverty and famine gets worse around the world. Many people are going to have more mental health issues than the problem. How are we going to care for them? Many marriages are under attack. There's an increase in domestic violence. There's an increase in child abuse. There are many ongoing problems that this pandemic is causing. They're massive. What's the answer? The church of Jesus Christ has the gospel, the hope of the world. The church is the answer. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. How are we going to help the world while it's in crisis? I don't want to be found lazy and apathetic and missing out on my mission and my call right now. I want to make sure I do everything I can. Make the most of every opportunity, this verse says. How can you make the world a better place? You know, you've got unique gifts and callings, and the church will not function well without you. Everyone in the church needs to play their part. Are you playing your part? You know, what's the point in earning lots of money if there's going to be many more financial crashes to come in the world? Do something to reach people for the cause of Christ. You know, I have a vision that will take missions all over Australia when the restrictions ease, and then all over the world. I believe God is going to open up many doors for the gospel. Are you ready? I was just invited last week to go on a Zoom call with a Papua New Guinean friend and some guys from Brizzy, PNG and New Zealand. I was able to just share a short gospel message. Seven people gave their hands to Christ. One of them was my buddy I went to school with in Coffs Harbour, you know, when I was 15 years old. He gave his heart to Christ and his whole family came to Christ in PNG over Zoom. We have technology, we have opportunities right now to share the gospel. Make the most of every opportunity, for the days are evil. Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. What a great challenge there. The next letter in the word COVID is V, and I want to talk about victory. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 to 58 says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You know, research shows that 10 out of 10 people die. There's no one that's going to escape the sting of death. I love this verse. It says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? You know, I believe that we will only die in God's timing. I believe when my number's up, God will take me. But while I'm here, I'm going to try and fulfill my purpose that God's placed me for on this earth. We need to think about what legacy we'll leave when we die. What will your gravestone say? I heard about the hypochondriac's gravestone that said, I told you I was sick. I read this beautiful Bach, the composer. His famous last words were, don't cry for me, for where I go, for I go where music is born. Isn't that beautiful? I'm going where music was born, in heaven, of course. D.L. Moody's famous last words were, if God be your partner, then make your plans large. And then he said, I see earth receding, heaven is open, God is calling me. Martin Luther said, our God is the God from whom cometh salvation. God is the Lord by whom we escape death. Billy Graham shared that there was a great saint named Joseph Everett. While he was dying, he said, glory, glory, glory. And he continued to exclaim glory for 25 minutes until he was whisked away by the angels to the gates of heaven. One day we're all going to be in that moment. I say there's no atheists on their deathbed, true. Everyone thinks about eternity on the deathbed. However, there's some sad stories of famous last words. Oscar Wilde said this, either these curtains go or I do. And then he died. What a sad way to go. Cesare Borgia said this, when I lived, I provided for everything but death. Now I must die and I'm unprepared to die. Are you ready to pass on to heaven or hell? Are you ready for eternity? We should live every day like it's our last day on this planet. We should make the most of every opportunity. Death has been swallowed up in victory. We need to make sure that we have Christ as our Lord and Savior, and then it'll take away that fear of death. Ecclesiastes 7:2 says, it's better to go to a house of mourning than go to a house of feasting, because that is the end of every man. And the living takes it to heart. We need to take it to our heart that we have an eternity. Every one of us is going to die one day. What do you think your last words would be? If you knew you had an iPad to say farewell to your friends and family, what would you say to them? How would people remember you in your eulogy? How would they sum up your life? The legacy you're passing on to others is the life you're living today. If you read Ecclesiastes 7 verse 12, it says, wisdom preserves the life of its possessors. You and I need wisdom. We need skill in everyday living if we are to leave a legacy of right choices and a life that is pleasing to God. The last words of Jesus Christ, even in his death, he taught us how to live and what our priorities ought to be. His last words were, it is finished. He fulfilled his assignment. What's your assignment? Have you fulfilled your assignment on this planet? The three most profound words in all of history, it is finished. Sin had been paid for in full with a life and love that demands our obedience. Have you experienced the forgiveness of the Son of God? How then will you live? How is your life different because of your faith in Jesus? Are you living the same as everyone else in the world? If you were in a courtroom and evidence was presented about your Christian life, what would it be like? After the resurrection on the Mount of Olives, before departing for heaven in a cloud, Christ gave us a profound promise and command by which to measure our lives. Acts 1:8 says this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses even to the ends of the earth. What is your response to the life of Jesus, to his death, to his resurrection, to his command to others that we need to tell others the gospel? What will your final words be? How will you be remembered? How is your life today another investment in the legacy you will leave? Carpe diem is the famous saying, seize the day. Make the most of every day. I've been trying to carpe the diem out of every day lately. I've been trying to make the most of every day. How are you going to spend today to make the most for your assignment on this earth? Do you measure your life by the world's yardstick or by Christ's words? If Christ is not Lord of your life today, then what guarantee is there that you will be a person of hopefulness when you die? Jim Elliot, the famous missionary who died at the age of 29, said this, only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Be wise about the days you live. The next word in my message today, we've done COV, the next one is I for impossible. Matthew 17:18-20 says, Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? He said, because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. You may think, how can I make a difference in this world? Nothing is impossible for those who believe in Jesus. You know, I love the word faith, F-A-I-T-H. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. We've got to have faith in the power of God. Not faith in faith, but faith in God, that God will do what he said he would do. The other way to explain faith is the acronym F-A-I-T-H, forward all issues to him. Everything in your life, just cast your burdens onto Jesus. Just pray and believe for miracles. Just trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your paths. Just have faith that nothing is impossible for those who believe. You know, there's two ways that David could have looked at Goliath. He could have looked at him and said, oh, he's too big, he's going to kill me. Or he could have looked at Goliath and said, he's so big, I can't miss him. Because God is greater than any Goliath. God is greater than any mountain that's in front of us. Any sickness, any disease, any financial struggle, any relationship, nothing is impossible for God. Have faith and trust in the Lord because he is on the throne. He is sovereign. He is all powerful. God is. However big you think God is, he's bigger. Have a big faith in a big God. I remember hearing Pastor Craig Groeschel talk about how when he learned to do free diving, he went under the water for about a minute, came up exhausted and thought, oh, that was pretty good. And then he was coached and trained about the capacity he had in his lungs and to have these breathing techniques. And after training from a world-class expert, he learned to go under the water for 4.5 minutes because his capacity was enlarged. We all have a great capacity to do great things for God. We just need some coaching from the Holy Spirit. We just need God to fill us and give us faith that we can do great things for the gospel, great things for the kingdom, and a larger capacity. Ephesians 3:20 says, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than all we can ask and imagine. Trust in God. Have faith. Nothing is impossible for those who believe. I want to share a quick poem that my mum wrote. I hope this blesses you today. She said, this is our finest hour. Church is not a building. It's our finest hour. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but a sound mind, love, and power. A house is built upon a rock and not on sinking sand. We're here to weather every storm that comes across our land. Whether drought or fire or flood, and now this virus threat, we're built to withstand trials so we don't need to fret. Our teacher is the Holy Spirit who shows us how to pray. He leads and guides and uses us to do things God's own way. When trials come, our Lord has said, we need to still be glad, for we are overcomers. There's no need to be sad. For he has overcome the world. He's shown us how to live, to care for one another, and to be prepared to give. So when the world is darkest, it's not the time to whine, but follow his directions and the world will see us shine. We need to change our thinking and be in one accord, for unity is strength and pleasing to our Lord. Yes, this is our finest hour, a time we mustn't miss. We're on this earth right now for such a time as this. Thank you, my mum, Wendy Boniface, great poem. This is our finest hour. And my last word in the acronym of COVID is D, day. Luke 9:23 says, if anyone comes after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That word daily or day is such an important word. You know, every day I start the day with Jesus. I read through God's word, I pray, and I take up my cross. What does it mean to take up your cross? When Jesus said this, take up your cross daily, all the disciples knew that in where they lived at that time, people died on Roman crosses all the time. To take up your cross means to die to yourself, to die to your own selfish ambition, to die to your own sins, to die to your own greed, your own lust, your own evil ways. Die to yourself and live for Jesus. Jesus said, if anyone comes after me, must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. We've got to die every day to our sins. And you know, every day is a new chance. It's like when you play golf. If you miss it at the tee off, your mates, if they're nice, will say, you can have another go. You get a second chance. In America, they call it a mulligan. You get a mulligan. So you put the ball on and you have another shot. Every day is like a mulligan. Every day is a second chance. Every day you can start afresh. Recommit yourself to Jesus every day. Read the word every day. Die to yourself every day. There's power in every day. Redeem every day. Carpe diem. Seize every day for Jesus. Because God is a God of second chances. You may think you've messed up too much, but I'm here to tell you, whatever sins you've committed, one drop of Jesus' blood is enough to wash away all your sins. Let me finish with a quick story. A few years ago, Carol's dad was in hospital and he was unwell. We didn't know how long he had to live. And Carol and I were there talking to him and I just felt this stirring in my heart that I needed to talk to him about eternity. You see, he'd been raised as a Christian, he'd been a Sunday school teacher as a young fella, but most of his life, he's lived his life away from God and didn't really care about God much, didn't care about church and that kind of stuff. But you know, whenever Carl and I would talk to him about God, he would tear up and get emotional. He had a soft heart for God. In that hospital bed, 6 months before he died, I said to him, "Graham, mate, every week on my church service, every week at my soup kitchen, I give people an opportunity to give their life to Jesus, where they can pray a simple prayer to receive Christ as Lord and Savior and turn from their sins. I said, I'd be a bad son-in-law if I didn't give you that opportunity. Would you like me to pray with you today, mate?" And he teared up and started crying and goes, "You're all right." He said, and I thought, he probably thought he can't do that. He's been too sinful all his life. But I said to him, "No matter what sins you've committed, Graham, Jesus will wash them away if you ask him to." The Bible says if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that he's risen from the dead, then we'll be saved. All those who call on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. He goes, "Okay, let's pray." So we held hands in that hospital room and we prayed that prayer. And he received Jesus that day. And I believe his life changed. I believe his heart softened even more that day. 6 months later, he passed on to eternity. And I know he's in heaven because he received Christ that day. I had the privilege of sharing at his funeral, and there was hundreds of firemen there. He was a very well-known fireman. I was able to share that story of how he came to Christ in front of all his friends and family. And I do hope and pray that his message will impact all of our family, that they'll all come to Christ because of his decision that he made. But you know what? You need to make a decision today. Is your life right with Jesus? The same way Graham prayed that prayer to receive Christ as Lord and Saviour, you can receive him as Lord and Saviour today. You can have your sins forgiven. In just a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer where you can ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. And I believe if you pray that and mean it from your heart, you'll be saved. You'll have your sins forgiven. You'll have a place in heaven, but you'll have Jesus in your heart with a relationship with Jesus. If you want to pray that prayer with me, I just want to ask you to pray this prayer. Repeat it after me. It'll be real quick. Let's pray together. Dear God in heaven, come on, repeat after me. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me my sins and make me born again. I turn from my sinful ways and I surrender my life to you. Please fill me with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I believe if you prayed that prayer, you've been born again. Your sins are forgiven. And I always give four bits of advice. Number one, pray. Now that you're a Christian, pray all day, every day through Jesus. He will hear your prayers. Number two, read God's word. If you want us to send you a Bible, we're going to have a Zoom meeting after this. You can join. We can get your information or we can email you. Send us an email, info@newhopebrisbane.org. That's info@newhopebrisbane.org. We'd love to send you an email and make a comment and say, yes, I gave my life to Jesus and we'll follow you up. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, you pray, you read the word and you connect with the church. You're welcome to connect with our church, New Hope Church Brisbane. Thank you for joining us. Or you can connect with another church in your community. Be connected to a local church. Number four, tell others you're a Christian. Tell people your testimony. Tell people the good news. Every one of us that's a Christian, we're all called to share the good news with the world. That's our job, every one of us. It's called the Great Commission. So pray, be in the word, be in church or connect with the church and tell others the good news. Well, I pray that the Lord will bless you today. After this, we're going to have a Zoom meeting now. I'm going to put the link on the screen, a link in the comments and on our Facebook page. And you can connect with us for Zoom prayer. We'd love to pray with you. It'll be confidential and private. If you need healing in your body, if you need a breakthrough, whatever you need prayer for, or if you'd like to receive Christ, we'd love to pray with you today. Or send us an email. We'd love to connect with you. I'm Pastor Matt Prater. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today. Have an awesome day.